Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
All right, the two worst people you know went live on Fox News last night to cover up for the Iran war. And listen, Fox News for the past 2 weeks, in the year of our Lord and Savior of 2026, has been indistinguishable from what it looked like in 2005 or 2006 when they were running cover for Republican presidents' endless wars as they cut taxes for the rich and cut health care for the most vulnerable Americans. It's the same exact thing, but now we just have the two worst people you know, Caroline Leavitt and Laura Trump, on the worst news station you know, Fox News, running defense for the worst president in modern American history, and we're going to cover it all on the best YouTube channel for political news. Make sure you drop a like and subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed. We're inching closer to 2 million subscribers, which would be an amazing feat for our community. We are a Gen Z-built media company made for all ages, and you know what we've built is beautiful, so thank you all. I am eternally grateful for your support, and it keeps me going every single day. Let's win back the midterms and in 2028. All right, let's lay the groundwork with this clip of Caroline Leavitt and Laura Trump, who begin to talk about the Iran war. Then we're going to jump over to Pete Buttigieg, who also gave an amazing performance on CNN this morning. Let's start here with Caroline Leavitt and Laura Trump.
Yeah, now just to get to Iran, the new supreme leader there supposedly told their Gulf neighbors that U.S. military bases needed to be removed from their countries. And another surviving senior leader addressed President Trump on X, writing, "Watch out for yourself, lest you be eliminated." So it's pretty clear this regime is trying, Caroline, to reestablish itself. But we also have people here in our own country who seem to be actively rooting against the success of this mission. I think it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, well, first of all, the Iranian regime, or what's left of it, and these radical terrorists are speaking a lot of empty words, but I think their weakened actions speak for themselves and underscore how successful this operation has been just 2 weeks in. We have totally...
Okay, I'm sorry to pause it. People always get mad when I pause it, but it's because I need to debunk and break down the lies being spewed out of Caroline Leavitt's mouth. It is irresponsible if I don't tell you guys how much she just lied. She says the Iranian regime, or what's left of it, implying that they have almost crippled or taken care of the Iranian regime. That is absolute BS. The Iranian regime is still standing. They have deep, deep institutional pull and capture. They have the IRGC, which is a military force with 1 million strong of people who are radicalized and will die till the every last one of them will die for the state. The Iranian regime is not close to almost crippled or close to being destroyed. In about 6 to 8 months, they can rebuild whatever the United States has destroyed. The United States is the superior military country right now, but Iran does have leverage over the United States in the form of oil in the Strait of Hormuz, and that's what you see them using. They are using their leverage. And by the way, nobody's rooting against the United States in this mission. I'm just rooting for the United States to have some, I don't know, a planning, or maybe have some adherence to international law so we're not doing this shit in the first place.
Annihilated the Iranian regime's navy. We've wiped out nearly almost all of their ballistic missile threat. In fact, ballistic missile attacks from Iran right now are down 90%. Their drone capabilities are down 95%. We have sunk more than 65 of their naval ships. We've hit more.
And what do we have to show for it? What do we have to show for it? Gas prices 1 month ago, if you look at my cursor, gas prices 1 month ago on average were $2.90. And that's actually like a decent price. That is about at equilibrium, right? Now, they went up to $3.40 a week ago. Yesterday, they were at $3.60. Now, they're almost at $3.70. This is the average. So the war is not slowing down. The war is expanding, widening. Iran is threatening us further. And I want to take you all over to Pete Buttigieg, because Caroline Leavitt, in the clip I just played, Caroline Leavitt said, "We have Democrats and people in this country actively rooting against the success of this mission." I want to illustrate that that is not true. Pete Buttigieg, a leader in the Democratic Party, is not actively rooting against the success of this mission. In this clip, he's pointing out how Donald Trump is acting like an awful leader and how this mission was doomed to fail from the beginning. There is a difference between pointing out that this mission was doomed to fail versus actively rooting for people to fail.
Ago. And let's also remember that in the past, Iran's nuclear program was contained without a shot being fired. And President Trump thought he could get a better deal than the Obama administration did. He failed to get that better deal. And he went off and launched a war without planning, without being ready for even some of the most basic things. I mean, it is a certainty that the military would have advised him that the Straits of Hormuz would have been closed, that that was a likely scenario. And yet they're talking about this and clearly acting as though they didn't think this would happen. The Secretary Hegseth went so far as to say that the Strait of Hormuz is open, other than the fact that there would be fire against vehicles transiting the strait.
Wait, let me really quickly play that clip because I love this one.
The only thing prohibiting transit in the straits right now is Iran shooting at shipping. It is open for transit should Iran not do that.
The only thing prohibiting me from being a professional chef right now is the fact that I don't really know how to cook very well.
This is clearly amateur hour at the Pentagon and in the White House. And again, the price is being paid by all of us. You can also just tell from the administration's attitude toward this war, the fact that they're putting out videos treating this like a video game. It's not a video game for the families of the fallen. And then, just this week, we saw campaign fundraising materials being put out, emails where the president's committee, the president's political operation, was raising money off of images of him at a dignified transfer. Any politician who does that has no business leading American troops in the war. If the president is willing to raise campaign funds over the bodies of America's war dead, he is unfit to be the commander-in-chief.
Honestly, that was probably the best I've heard a Democrat word that specific instance of the campaign fundraising thus far, because that was very, very sickening and that needed to be talked about. You know what else is sickening? That Trump has been golfing throughout a lot of this. We have reporting about Trump's relentless golfing habits that I want to break down for you all, because Caroline Leavitt had to kind of tiptoe around it on Fox News last night. So, Bricktop Naval points out, as United States troops put their lives on the line in the Middle East, Trump decided to go for another peaceful round of golf this morning. This is the sixth time Trump has golfed since the United States started its strikes on the 28th of February. Now, this is actually not updated. These are the numbers from a few days ago. I'm still working on getting the updated numbers. But on February 28th, at Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach, in golf attire while overseeing initial operations, reports indicate he fit in around. Officials adjusted travel to accommodate his schedule. There are many reports. You can look it up. On March 1st, direct reports of playing at the club, drawing criticism for optics on the war's first day. March 2nd, confirmed playing at Mar-a-Lago's adjacent course. March 3rd, accounts of golfing rather than heading back to D.C. for briefings. March 7th, golf during a weekend trip to Florida amid ongoing military actions. March 8th, which is the day that this was written. That was a week ago. He's probably golfed a few more times. Played this morning at the Trump National Doral in Miami, where he hosted a summit yesterday and decided to stay over. So he is repeatedly golfing over and over and over. And I want to show you this clip that's going viral because of the way Caroline Leavitt is describing Trump, not in the Situation Room, but repeatedly asking for information from the Situation Room. I'm so sick of them grading him on such a curve that they treat him like a kindergartner. Like, oh, don't worry. There are shootings going on. There's chaos domestically and internationally. Everybody's pocketbook is being hurt. But the president, he was asking for updates routinely. Don't worry.
And just to give your audience an understanding of how on top of all of these situations President Trump is, he was immediately briefed as this news broke. And I was with him throughout much of the afternoon, where he was incessantly asking for updates from the Situation Room to be fully on top of the situation in Michigan and to ensure that the FBI and federal authorities were doing all that they can to respond.
She sounds like a girl who's got her hand caught in the cookie jar, right? In reality, they got caught on the golf course while more shit is breaking out. And she's like, don't worry, we were briefing it.
So again, this is a president who is always monitoring what's happening across our country and ensuring that the proper authorities are taking action.
Oh, great. He's always monitoring the situation. That's what they say. That's what I'm doing. I monitor the situation in my own way.
To address these situations, the FBI will continue to investigate and we'll learn more about the perpetrator in the coming days who is now deceased. And again, this will hopefully be a learning lesson.
Okay, let's pull back from the Fox News fake reality for a bit. And I want to return you all to the reality of Pete Buttigieg, who actually, you know, went to war, actually served in the military, has served in the Biden administration, served as the mayor of South Bend and in many other positions. Mayor Pete Buttigieg is a serious politician, a serious operator in America who understands what's happening right now.
Still part of that generation of soldier. What's your take?
What I'm worried about is not the soldiers and the people who are serving. What I'm worried about is their political leadership, like Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump. You know, we lived through a war that was sold to us on false pretenses when I was younger. This war has not been sold on any pretense. The president just went ahead and did it. Here's the biggest thing that has not changed since the war in Afghanistan or the war in Iraq. The biggest thing that has not changed is who pays the price. We have now seen 13 American service members killed. And when you prepare to go to war, the thing you think about, the thing you most dread, is your family being the ones to get that knock on the door. More than a dozen American families have now gotten that knock on the door, and the president has basically assured us that there will be more where that came from. And while they're paying the ultimate price, every American is paying some price. Right now, mortgage rates are up because of this war. Food is going to be more expensive because of this war. And of course, the price of gas that we're paying at the pump is more expensive because of this war.
Wow. I really like that answer because it loops in two things. The ultimate price, which is the deaths that we've seen, and the way that he really zooms in to the dozen families that now will have to get that knock on the door that, hey, your son or daughter is deceased due to another war in the Middle East. It is so incredibly despicable, not to mention the hundreds of people who have died in Lebanon, the hundreds of children who were bombed in Iran, plus the thousands of civilians, plus the hundreds of U.S. service members who are injured in some way, which is very sad, likely some injured for life. And then beyond that, he talks about the cost on American citizens, because this is very real as well. This is very, very real. It's different than the people who died in the Middle East. But the fact that our national debt is ballooning so fast that we have $1 trillion per year just in interest payments, that'll affect my generation and continue to compound and compound. The gas price increase that we see, which will underlie an increase in all goods in the United States. And what is Trump doing? Trump is golfing and, quote, monitoring the situation. What is Caroline Leavitt doing? She's going on Fox News with perhaps the worst person you know, maybe the second worst person behind Caroline herself.
Obviously seeing a temporary increase in gas prices as Iran is you know, trying to impede movement there in the Strait of Hormuz.
Oh, my. This is so 2005. Don't worry, everybody. You're going to see a temporary increase while we're solving everything in the Middle East. Dude, nobody really cares about putting our money, our dollars, every single day on the line for a Middle Eastern war. Again, I want to go back to these gas prices. Let's just take the regular column right here, where my cursor is, the regular column. 1 month ago, it was $2.90. It's a reasonable price. $2.90 is fine, actually. 1 week ago, $3.40. Yesterday, 367. Current average, 3699, so almost 370. It is still spiking. This is not temporary. This will take weeks and weeks and weeks, which compounds, which accumulates. This takes a lot of money.
We're now utilizing our strategic petroleum reserve. This is what it is supposed to be used for, right? This is the time whenever a president taps it, not as they're going into an election like we've seen in the past, but
that never happened.
People out there in the country right now who might be concerned to see this blip and this increase in gas prices.
Wait, before she goes, she's going to lie and say that the war is actually going great and that it's worth it.
We understand your concerns. We hear you, and we are taking them into account, and we have a plan to address them. And this is a temporary, short-term disruption in global oil prices that the president is ultimately going to rectify by wiping out the rogue Iranian terrorist regime. And the fact that the terrorists are holding the global oil industry hostage by threatening to shut down the Strait of Hormuz and traffic through the strait just underscores the need for President Trump to launch this operation in the first place. We cannot live in a world where we have radical Islamic terrorists threatening to hold the world's oil market and global economy.
Wait, no way. That's a new justification for the war. What have they given, like 7 or 8, maybe 6, 7 justifications for the war thus far? The new justification is that Trump attacked Iran because they threatened or could close the Strait of Hormuz. So then he decided to attack them. And then they close the Strait of Hormuz, so we have to attack them further. What is this logic? That is a new justification. And spoiler alert, you're not going to topple the Iranian regime without a boots on the ground war. And that would be nearly impossible. There are 1 million members of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, which is a radical group that will always support the regime. They will fight down to the very last one to support whichever leader is put in power by this regime. The regime has a parliament that is deeply embedded. The regime has not fallen yet, even though, for the sake of the people in Iran, it would be good if it did, because the regime is very repressive. And many people in the comment section have been saying, Adam, you're lying about the Iranian regime. They're actually good people. Do some research. I can't tell if these are bots from Russia or whatever, but the Iranian regime is far from good. I love you all. I'll see you in the next video. Peace out.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.